Good evening. I ask that you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Tonight we'll be reading chapter 11, verse 4. If you're reading in the Pew Bibles, you'll find this on page 1875. Now hear God's word from Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, your word is living and active. Lord, and we pray that by the presence of your Spirit among us, you would move on our hearts to receive your word as truly your word, as it is living and active. We pray that it would work in our hearts and in our lives, that it would do so to your glory. Bless the reading and the preaching of your word to your glory, we pray. Amen. Now, every year on the northeastern coast of Australia, giant sea turtles come out of the ocean and crawl up on the beach to lay their eggs. And several months later, by the miracle of God-given life, we see several baby sea turtles hatch out of these eggs. And they begin making a line back into the waters. So once the turtles come out of their eggs, their flippers, they start turning like this. It propels them along the beach. But the interesting thing is, if you were to walk up to one of these turtles, these baby sea turtles, and pick them up with your hands so they were no longer on the ground, those flippers keep right on moving. They don't even seem to notice that it's not getting them anywhere. They keep on moving, because that's what these turtles have been hardwired to do. They're only serving their purpose, and they don't even notice that their movement has become futile, that it doesn't get them anywhere. And human beings are very much the same. We were created to worship, and often we worship the wrong things. People worship false gods, money, sex, their self. And so often people even choose the true God as their object of worship. But they worship in such a way that it misses the target. Such people worship in futility. But you, dear brothers and sisters, have been called to worship in spirit and in truth. So perhaps you're wondering what Cain and Abel have to do with us today. Since as believers in Christ, well, we don't offer up sacrifices like Cain and Abel did. Or do we? If you were to look ahead near the close of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, verse 15, we are encouraged to continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips which confess his name. So your sacrifice, which you offer to God, is worship. So I want to encourage you to make that sacrifice of worship pleasing and acceptable to God by offering it through faith in Jesus Christ. Because as we see here in Hebrews 11:4, we're told that by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. Now again, just to clarify what we mean by faith, as we read last week, the definition in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And looking ahead to Hebrews 12, verse 2, that it is faith which has Jesus Christ as its author and its perfecter. We're talking about saving faith in Christ. And this is the same saving faith in Christ by which Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. So the first thing we see is that faith makes your sacrifice presentable to God. In this instance, there was two sacrifices. There was Abel and his sacrifice. And there was Cain and his sacrifice. Now, the wording here might be a little confusing in that it says that faith enabled Abel to offer a better sacrifice. Because that might give the idea that, well, Cain's sacrifice was pretty okay. It was a good sacrifice. But Abel's, on the other hand, was better. You know, that faith just happened to give it something extra. You know, what the French might call je ne sais quoi. They don't know what it is, but something better. But that's not what's being talked about here. Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable. So, and Abel's was. So it's not the difference between good and better, but the difference between accepted, or rather not accepted in Cain's case, and accepted in the case of Abel. And by faith, Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God. It wasn't the outward qualities of the man which made Abel's sacrifice acceptable. Because if you think about it, Cain was the firstborn. Cain seemed to be the hope of Adam and Eve. Because as you remember, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, the Lord promised them a coming Redeemer, this seed who would crush the head of the serpent. And when Cain was born, Eve names him Cain, which means gotten, saying, "Behold, I've gotten a man from the help of the Lord." And it's caused many people to think that Eve may have believed that Cain was this promised seed. So afterwards, when Abel comes along, his name means vanity. As if after you've received this promised son, well, another one's nice, but it's just extra vanity. And as we know from the outcome of a relationship between Cain and Abel, Cain was probably physically stronger than his younger brother. So in all cases, it wasn't the man offering it by outward qualities which made it acceptable. And it wasn't even necessarily the outward qualities of the sacrifice itself. Now, we are told that in the account in Genesis 4, that Abel offered what we would consider to be a pleasing sacrifice. Because Abel is one who tended flocks. He brought the fattest portions of the firstborn of his flock, as opposed to Cain, who grew vegetables, tilling the ground. And we're just told that he brought some of the fruits. So there is an inherent quality to Abel's sacrifice, which makes it superior. But even that isn't what made it acceptable to God. Rather, it was the inward qualities, the faith, which Abel possessed. And the inward qualities drove the outward expression. It was on account of his faith, which he could offer a better sacrifice. Because true faith does not hold back. The one who refuses to give up their finest to the Lord does not exhibit faith in God's provision. So Abel, as one who possessed this true faith in God, was more than willing, more than ready to offer up the best of his flock unto the Lord. In Cain's case, however, it really wouldn't have mattered what he offered, so long as he did not possess faith. We're told in Proverbs 15:8 that the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked. So even if Cain had given his entire field of crops, so long as he was wicked, it wouldn't have been acceptable. Even if Cain also raised sheep and offered finer sheep than his brother Abel did, so long as he was wicked, so long as he did not have faith in the Lord, it wouldn't be acceptable. Because Cain and Abel were opposites. And that's reflected in the sacrifices which they offered and the Lord's response to them. Cain, who was wicked, his sacrifice was rejected. But Abel, who had faith, represents the righteous man. And only the righteous can worship acceptably. And this is why it's so necessary for faith to make your sacrifice presentable to God. Because faith lays hold of the righteousness of God. And the second portion of Hebrews 11:4, we're told that by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Note that it doesn't say that he was commended as a righteous man because God spoke well of his offerings. His commendation by the Lord was not dependent upon the offering itself. But when God accepted the offering of Abel, he was declaring that Abel was a righteous man, that Abel was pleasing to God. But notice that there's kind of an awkwardness to this phrase, saying that by faith he was commended. Abel is acting by faith, and yet he's not the one doing the acting here. It is God acting upon Abel by God declaring Abel to be righteous. And we learn in Genesis 4 that God spoke well of Abel even before he spoke well of his offering. We're told that God looked with favor upon Abel, and he looked with favor on his offering. It was the grace of God, the favorable grace of the Lord upon Abel, that made him even be able to offer up that acceptable sacrifice. It was because of Abel's faith, which resulted from the Lord's favor. Now, if you think about it, children love to draw pictures. If you give them a pack of crayons and a pad of paper, they will be happy and entertained for hours. And they will scribble out so many sloppy drawings. And they love to give their parents every one of them. I know many of you have received such drawings from your picture or from your children. And you delight in them. But it's not because of the quality of the pictures, because if you think about it, children are terrible artists. Children don't have a concept of line value or shading or depth or any element which makes a good composition. And yet, when your son or your daughter or your grandchildren come up and say, "Here, I drew this for you," you never think about the poor quality of the drawing. Because you delight in your children, because you love your children and your grandchildren, you love the gifts that they give you, regardless of their quality. This is what we see in Abel. God loved Abel. And because of that, Abel could give God a good gift, which God delighted in because he delighted in Abel. And it was all dependent upon the declaration of God himself. God declaring that Abel is one in whom I am pleased. And true faith believes that declaration. Because your children keep on drawing you pictures because they know that you'll accept them. They know that you love them. Sadly, there comes a time when children get to the age where they're a little more aware and they realize they don't draw very well. And sadly, it's about the age they stop drawing pictures for their parents, thinking that their pictures aren't good enough to give you anymore. But they don't realize they were never good enough to give you, not on their own merit. The merit came from the grace and the favor shown to them by their earthly parents, just as the merit of the sacrifice offered to God rests solely in the Lord's delight in his children. And so faith believes that declaration. Faith lays hold of the promise that God has chosen you to be his own, and knowing that you can give gifts which he will delight in. And so when faith accepts and lays hold of that declaration of righteousness, you will worship accordingly. You will offer up a sacrifice of praise, knowing that God accepts it. And when we come here together, we all worship the Lord together. But we don't worship in competition. You don't have to be worried that the sister in the pew next to you sings much nicer than you do. You don't have to be concerned that the brother sitting in front of you can put more money in the collection plate than you can. Because that's not worshiping with your eyes upon the Lord. It's one of the mistakes that Cain made. Because when Abel offered up his sacrifice, his eyes were fixed firmly upon the Lord. But Cain's eyes seemed to be fixed firmly upon his brother. And he was more concerned with what was going on with Abel. When, if Cain had possessed this true faith, his eyes too would have been fixed firmly upon the Lord. Now you need to understand that it is not faith itself which makes one righteous. And it's not the sacrifice or the worship that makes one righteous in the eyes of God. It is God alone who makes his people righteous through the blood of Christ. But faith will lay hold of that righteousness. And the worship offered in faith will display the fruits of that righteousness. Faith is vital. Without faith, you cannot be commended as a righteous man by the Lord. And thirdly, faith gives a lasting testimony of God. I mean, every act of worship is a testimony of who you say that God is. When you sing, you are saying that God is worthy to receive praise. When you pray to the Lord, you are saying that God is a God who hears your prayers and answers them. When you give your gifts and offerings, you're saying that the Lord deserves these gifts, that the Lord truly owns the things that he has given you in the first place. And when you hear the word of God, you are saying that God has something valuable and important to say, that he has something absolutely vital and essential to your life. And Abel, by his faith, gave a testimony of God. In the last part of Hebrews 11:4, we're told, by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. Well, how is it that Abel speaks, even though he is dead? First, he speaks through Scripture. Here we are, some 6,000 years after the fact, reading the account of Abel and his faith. And Abel is speaking through Scripture. Through this account, the Lord has used him to give you something to learn about how faith looks in practice. Not only does he speak through Scripture, he speaks through his witness. You know from the story of Cain and Abel that Abel was slain by his brother. That Cain, out of hatred and jealousy, struck his brother down. He spilled his own brother's blood. Abel was the first martyr. We often talk about Stephen in the book of Acts as being the first Christian martyr. But Abel was really the first one to be killed on account of his faith, was he not? And so when we look ahead to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, and we're told of the fifth seal, at which the souls of the martyrs are seen under the altar, crying out, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Abel is at the front of that line. He has been waiting longer than anyone for his blood to be avenged. But the fact that he and all these martyrs are still saying, "How long, O Lord?" means that they trust that he will indeed avenge their blood. They haven't given up. They know that God is faithful and true to his word. And so Abel with the saints is testifying to the greatness and the faithfulness of the Lord. And thirdly, he speaks through his blood. The Lord told Cain when he asked him where his brother was. And we all know Cain's indignant response when he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain tried to ignore his responsibility in any of this. And the Lord said, "Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." As we know from the Psalms, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And the Lord took notice of the murder of his beloved son, Abel. this child of God, his death did not go unnoticed. The blood of Abel cried out, both for mercy on himself, but for vengeance, for justice to be served by a holy Lord. And we're told further in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, that Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. With his sprinkled blood, it speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And this has led people to ask, well, what is this blood of Abel and what is the word that it speaks? There are some who would suggest that it was the blood of the sacrifice which he offered. As though, in a sense, the sacrifice which Abel offered was really the first sacrifice that we see in Scripture. And the sacrifice which Christ offered up of himself is the final, the ultimate sacrifice. And so it's sort of a bookend, you know, something that started and Christ finished it perfectly and completed. But yet, there was a sacrifice before that. It's very subtle, but in Genesis 3:21, after Adam and Eve fell into sin and they tried to make their own clothes out of leaves, the Lord took an animal and killed it. And he covered them much better than they could ever hope to do with their own works. And so I would say that this blood of Abel, of which Christ's blood speaks a better word, is the very blood which was spilled by his brother Cain. Because the blood of Abel hopes for redemption. The blood of Abel is longing to see justice, but to longing for the mercy of God, placing faith in his promises. And isn't that why any of us worship? Is because we too hope for redemption? But the blood of Christ is that which accomplishes redemption. It accomplishes it perfectly, fully, and completely. And Abel had the kind of faith which lays hold of that righteousness which is accomplished by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is none other than faith in Christ by which you too can offer up a sacrifice pleasing to God, because you offer it up as a child of the Lord, holy and beloved, made righteous in his sight by the blood of Christ. And what is it exactly we learn from Abel? Again, we're told, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. So, brothers and sisters, learn from this example. Lay aside your works. Lay aside your envy and your competition. And trust in the completed work of Christ on the cross to atone for your sins and to make you right in the sight of God. By faith, lay hold of the righteousness of Christ, and then you will offer acceptable sacrifices of praise to the God who loves you and is deserving of all glory and honor and praise. And may your testimony be a lasting declaration of your faith and the unfailing promises of God. Let us look to the Lord. Almighty Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for the precious blood of Christ, which indeed does speak a better word than the blood of Abel. Lord, we thank you for the life of Abel and for the faith which you gave him, for the example in him that you've given to us. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us and that you would encourage us and teach us to worship you in faith, knowing that as children of God, we can offer up the gifts which you delight in, because you have claimed us as your own and purchased us with that blood of Christ. Be with us as we leave this place. Keep us near to you. And all this we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.